I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. I've chosen this text this morning to prepare us and ready us for the taking and receiving of the Lord's Supper today. So we're taking a break from 1 John at least for a week. Probably pick back up next week where we left off in 1 John. But I'd like to take some time this morning to explain why it is that we celebrate this. Why is it important that we remember? What does this mean? And to give us proper preparation for taking this wonderful, wonderful meal together. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23, starting in verse 23, will be our text. This is Paul writing. If you know anything about 1 and 2 Corinthians, you know that this church was not a perfect church. They had their issues, they had their troubles, they had their divisions, they had their fights, they had false teaching, they had crazy worship services that needed to be reined in and brought to order. They were struggling with gifts that God had given them. They were struggling to find their identity as a body of believers. They were very different. Their worship gatherings were getting off course when they came together in the public assembly, gathering as a church to enjoy and exalt their Lord. And one of the problems they were having was this abuse and misconduct at the table of the Lord. And Paul gives them instructions for how do we properly prepare, how do we remember, how do we take, what should be our heart when we come and take and remember the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have some similarities with this church because we are not a perfect fellowship. Your pastors are not perfect pastors. Your deacons are not perfect deacons. Your Sunday school teachers are not perfect Sunday school teachers. We have our issues just like the church of Corinth had. So really, in a sense, when we read what Paul is saying to this imperfect group of believers gathered together with regards to the Lord's Supper, it would do us quite well this morning to be still before the Lord, to remember properly, to prepare accordingly what this is all about and why it matters so very much. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, would you grant us eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts to understand clearly and properly the gospel and the representation of the gospel in this supper. Cause us to see, cause us to remember, cause us to examine ourselves, and cause us to receive this meal in a worthy manner. I ask for the aid, the help, the filling of the Holy Spirit to explain and expound the scriptures you've given us that we may celebrate and rejoice in this great redemption that you have purchased for us by the blood of your Son to receive a people unto yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23, Paul is going to start with what he has received from the Lord. What's very interesting, before he enters into what he's received from the Lord, he actually tells them that they're coming together to partake of the Lord's Supper is not for better, but for worse. So we would think, today we celebrate the Lord's Supper. What a good thing, what a great thing for a body of believers, for a church to celebrate. And Paul tells this group of believers, when you guys come together to take the supper, He says, there are some things against you, and it's actually not better, it's worse. And that we need to examine ourselves appropriately. Verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So I want to prepare us to take the Lord's Supper by asking and answering three questions this morning. Asking and answering three questions. Why do we come together at the Lord's table? Who can take and receive the Lord's Supper? And how are we to take the Lord's Supper? First, why do we come together to take and receive the supper of the Lord? From this text, we have two or three very clear, direct responses to this. First, for remembrance. The reason why we are taking and celebrating this glorious redemption that God has worked for us in His Son, who paid for the church, His bride, with His very own blood. The reason why we celebrate this today is because we are commanded to do so. We are commanded to remember. That's why we call it an ordinance. The Lord commands His people to remember Him with the bread and with the cup. So this is not an optional manner as a believer. We are commanded to remember. We are commanded to come. We are commanded to receive. And so it begs an explanation of remember what? Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus says. So there's the command. Do this, what? Take the elements of the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. So what are we remembering? Well, before Jesus was crucified, as Dennis was saying, the night before his betrayal and arrest, he's with his disciples in the upper room. He has been preparing them for a very specific moment in history, namely that he will be betrayed, he will be given over, he will be rejected, he will be mocked, he will suffer, he will be crucified, he will die, he will be buried, and on the third day he would rise again. He's preparing his disciples for his death, for his burial, and for his resurrection. This is what we remember. We remember, to say it another way, the gospel event. The gospel event, which the Old Testament is pointing to, which the New Testament is explaining and thinking back and drawing implications from. The gospel event, the perfect life of our Lord Jesus Christ, in complete, full obedience to the Father, surrenders His will for the Father's will, and He takes the cup. He does not allow the cup to pass by. He takes the cup of the punishment and the penalty, the wrath of God for that, and He takes it, He drinks it in full as He dies on the cross for sins and for sinners. So we are remembering His body that was broken and given unto His people. We are remembering the blood that was poured out for the remission and forgiveness of our sins. That's what we are remembering. We are to never approach the table without remembering the sacrifice of our King. We are to remember the humiliation and the suffering and the glory of our Savior. That He carries His cross, that He dies a sinner's death, that though He had no sin, He became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. And then his last breath, as he hangs on the cross, he utters, "It is finished." He completes the redemptive work that he was commissioned of the Father to come and complete, perfectly satisfying the righteous standards, perfectly satisfying the penalty for our unrighteousness. We remember his death. His body, Jesus says, by the bread. His blood, Jesus says, by the cup. So why do we come together? We come together to remember. We also come together to show the Lord's death, or to proclaim the Lord's death until he returns, verse 26. So we are remembering the event that happened in the past for our redemption, for our reconciliation, for our being right with the Father upon all that Jesus has done, and those benefits applied unto us by faith and the working of the Holy Spirit. So when we remember that, and presently as we take, what are we doing? We are preaching and proclaiming and showing forth what? The Lord's death until he returns. So when we come to the meal, we're thinking back and we're remembering the gospel event and all that he's accomplished for us. And then in the present, we are not only remembering, we are proclaiming, we are showing forth by the bread and the cup, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until when? Until he returns. So there's a future outlook to the table and the meal. We are thinking back and all that he's accomplished. We are celebrating in the present these glorious benefits brought to us spiritually by faith. And we are also looking forward until the day he returns. When he comes, clouds descending, and all of his glory, and we will meet the Lord in the air, and we will forever be with him, and we will one day celebrate this glorious marriage supper of the Lamb that John records for us toward the end of Revelation. So we are showing forth the Lord's death until he returns. Third reason why we come together for the Lord's Supper, to receive the bread and the cup at the table of the Lord, is because in this ordinance, there is a remembering and there is a renewing of communion and fellowship with our Lord. You see, we know a little bit about eating together, and we call it fellowshipping together. We eat, we talk, we laugh, we share stories. We share things that we have in common when we come around a table and when we eat. That's what fellowship is. Fellowship means to have in common, to share something we have in common. So as believers and brothers and sisters today, what do we have in common? We have in common our Savior, our Father. We have in common the Holy Spirit that binds us together. We have in common with one another the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That the very Holy Spirit binds us together as one body in the Lord. So we come for the sake of communion and fellowship with one another at the table and with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Next question, who can receive the Lord's Supper? Who? Is it for anybody? Is it for everybody? Are there limits? Are there boundaries? There are boundaries around the table of the Lord. We live in a society that doesn't like to hear that kind of language. But when you come to the Lord's table, there are boundaries. There are requirements. There are requirements to come partake of this meal. What is the requirement? Well, to whom is Paul speaking to? What people is he writing to? What people, what church is are gathered there in Corinth that he's giving the instruction to? Who can come to the table of the Lord? You got a great description at the beginning of this letter in chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Listen to the people, how they are described whom Paul is writing to, inspired by the Holy Spirit when he gives instruction for the table of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So the church can come to the table. Not the world. We are not opening the door saying, world, anybody and everybody, come to the table of the Lord. It's not what we're offering this morning. The church has a right, it's a privilege, humbly at the table of the Lord. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So those who know the Lord, who are in the Lord, who are being sanctified and made holy, who are set apart in the Lord, that person can come to the table, called to be saints. Don't get hung up with the word saints. This is not an elite group of believers. This is all believers who are in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So if you are by faith in the Lord, sanctified in Christ, if you are a part of the gathered, belonging brothers and sisters of the church of God, then these are the people whom Paul is writing to, giving instruction for the table of the Lord. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ. So a people who are recipients of the grace of God unto salvation, they can come to the table of the Lord. So if you've received grace from God, if you are in Christ, if you are the church of God, if you are set apart in the beloved, if you are a saint in Jesus Christ, then you are welcome to come to the table. Verse 5, then in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So again, the people who have the testimony of Christ on their lives, the testimony that is confirmed in your life that you belong to your Lord, if that is a real testimony for you, if your life shines forth, I'm a confirmed follower of Jesus, then you are welcome at the table of the Lord. Simply put, the church and not the world is welcome at the table of the Lord. Those who are saved by grace through faith. Those who have been born of God and set apart in Christ. By grace through faith are ye saved. Not of yourself, but the gift of God. Not a result of work, so that you may not boast. Then you can come. Last, how are we to take the Lord's Supper? How? Verse 27. Chapter 11, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So there's the warning. Paul instructs the church here that if you take this meal, if you receive the cup and the bread in an unworthy fashion, then we are guilty of the body and blood of our Lord. And what was his punishment? Death. For sin and sinners. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Then he gives a case study. For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many have slept. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged ultimately. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at his home. That we come not together unto judgment or condemnation. So how are we to come to the Lord's table? In a worthy manner. We come worthily unto the Lord. Now you might be thinking, well, good grief. Worthily. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to come unto the table of the Lord. In and of yourself, you aren't. In and of yourself, you are always unworthy and unfit to come to the table of the Lord. But in Christ and in His righteousness, you are accepted in the eyes of the Father, in the Beloved. And He is well pleased with His beloved Son, in whom you are by faith. Christ Himself makes you acceptable before the Father. Christ makes you a welcomed recipient at the table of the Lord. Because Christ is Himself the feast and nourishment and strength we need at the table. So we come worthily, which means at least three things from the text. We come with reverence. With reverence. We understand the worth of what has been accomplished for us. Worthily, we come with reverence, with an awe, with a respect, maybe even a silence. We come worthily through discernment. Discernment. Paul says we examine ourselves. Open up your heart and do a scan and ask that God Almighty would show you where you are wrong, where you are in sin, what needs to be removed, what needs to be blotted out, how you need to be cleansed, of what pet sin are you wrestling with. With reverence, with discernment, discerning and examining our own selves, discerning and understanding the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. And last, which is sometimes overlooked when it comes to the Lord's table. To come worthily means that we come with love. We come with love. Particularly love for one another. You see, they're having their issues and they're having their divisions and they're getting ahead of each other, and the rich people aren't really including the poor people as they ought. And some are eating way too much at the table, and some poor believers, they don't have anything left. And some are drinking way too much at the Lord's table, and then some are left out. There's this faction, there's this division, there's this leaving out of the brothers. And Paul is saying that's why when you come together, it's not good. So when we come to the table of the Lord, what do? We come with love for one another. Love for one another. That you love your imperfect pastor, and that I love this imperfect fellowship. That we love the young and old together. That we love the children. That we love the senior adults. That we love everyone in between. That we love the fellowship. And then we come to the table. So let's take a minute this morning and let's spend some time silently examining, praying, readying ourselves before the deacons come forward to present unto you the Lord's table. So let's spend some moments in silence, praying and examining, then we'll continue with the distribution.